Welcome and triple welcome to the program, everybody. It's Rob Zicari. We are live. This is the Rob Zicari Show. And it's hot in my studio. Today, it's hot. Real hot. The last few days, we've discussed the coldness of them leaving the air conditioning on all night. Well, because I complained, the air is off. And now the studio is about 100 degrees. It's musky. Okay? You want to know, it's hot. It's very musky. It reminds me of a place that Lindsey Graham might go and hang out at. No, I'm serious. But that's what reminds me of the heat, the hot, and the musky men's smell. Seems like a place Lindsey Graham would be trolling at. Speaking of Lindsey Graham, did you see him yesterday while George Bush, they dragged poor George out. They dragged poor George. They dragged poor W. I'm not talking about old man Bush. I'm talking about W. They dragged poor W out. Said you got to stump for Jeb. We need your magic. We need your magic. And there he is speaking. Lindsey Graham behind him. I think that was the first time Lindsey Graham was actually behind a man. But he's behind Bush, and he's just looking up at the back of W's head with this. Well, it was a look. That's all. It was a look. And what a press. I mean, I tweeted this out. Listen, if South Carolinians, that's what they're called, right? Carolinians. If South Carolinians are swayed by listening to W, okay, if they are swayed by listening to W, and all of a sudden, come Saturday, Jeb Bush wins the South Carolina primary, and Donald Trump finishes fifth, I gotta say, South Carolinians are more stupid than Iowans. And I thought you couldn't get stupider than the people of Iowa. I'm serious. I didn't think you could get more stupid than the Iowa caucus goers. Yesterday, I thought was a disaster. I thought it was a disaster. But again, I'm partial. I'm not like your Limbaugh's or your Levin's or your Hugh Hewitt, where I'm shilling for Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz. You got to look at it this way. You look at the Limbaughs. It flops. It flip-flops. See, Limbaugh plays it smart. He doesn't want to get right behind a candidate because if the candidate doesn't win, he doesn't want to look stupid. He prides himself on being the all-knowing. He's the master. He's the genius. So he prides himself on all-knowing. He knows what every move's going to be. He knows what everybody's thinking. So if out of the gate, he says, this is who I think is going to win, this is who I think is the best, and that person does not win, then he looks unknowing. But let's face it, if you pay attention, if you really pay attention, as far as the ultra conservative, as far as that wing, it's Cruz. And as far as the typical establishment, it's Rubio. That's it. That's it. And he defends them. He does whatever he's got to do to create a different narrative for both of those guys. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Matter of fact, we do a lot of different things on this program. You know, I know Twitter. I hate basing things on Twitter. But I know Twitter can judge, or you can actually judge certain things from Twitter as far as getting followers and people interacting. And I've noticed that the last couple days, I've lost probably about 6 or 7 followers. Now, I don't have the app. I don't have the app that will tell you who stopped following you. But I can only imagine, because I had somebody mention this to me, I can only imagine that a few hardcore, like super hardcore, conservative evangelical Christians were following us. They got turned on to the program, whether it was through Roger Stone or one of our tweets about one of the candidates, whatever. And after they listened to the show a few times, they read more of our blogs, they came to the conclusion that I'm not a Jesus freak. And I think instantly they unfollowed. I think instantly they said, I will never listen to that person again because they're not a Jesus freak. They do not base their thoughts. They don't base their actions on what the Holy Scripture said. They probably believe 2 Corinthians went into a bar. And I have to say, I do. I never heard of Corinthians. I never heard of the Corinthians. So I think that has disappointed people. Because certain people believe that if you say you're a conservative talk show host, that means you're a Jesus freak. Because you have the Levins, the Medvids, the Pragers, the Hewitts. And they're all Jesus freaks. Limbaugh, a little less. He doesn't wear the Jesus freak on his sleeve. The rest of them do. But I think that trips people out. I think it trips conservatives out. Not all conservatives. Like I was discussing yesterday with you all. I think there's a new wave of Republican. The notion that the Republican voting sphere is all old school evangelicals. I don't believe that anymore. And we'll see Saturday. To me, everything is going to come down to Saturday. You have a state that they say is made up of 60% evangelicals, a state that they say is still in love with George Bush, a state that they say doesn't like Yankees, a state that they say Donald Trump is losing all momentum. Now, this is from the establishment. This is from the talking heads. This is from the wishful thinkers. And we're going to see Saturday. I said this yesterday. If Donald Trump wins, and it's funny, now people, again, are trying to move the goalposts. Well, he's got to win by a huge margin. I mean, now used to be New Hampshire. If you just won New Hampshire, it was over. Now it's moved to, well, you know, South Carolina. You got to win South Carolina. Every nominee's won South Carolina except Newt Gingrich, but that was an aberration. So every, okay. Now that Trump's up 20-some points in the newest poll from yesterday, they're saying, well, he's got to maintain that. If he only wins by 5 or 6, the field continues. Okay. All right. So that means 4th and 5th and 6th, they're all still in it, right? They all can win. So we'll see. But yesterday, you had W. So he showed up, and he didn't go after Trump by name, but he did say, we need a commander-in-chief with a steady hand. We need a commander-in-chief. Listen, guys, he was reading from a script or a teleprompter. To me, a script, the teleprompter is the same thing. And I don't think... Now, we all make fun of Obama.
Yeah, he speaks eloquent because he's reading off a teleprompter and he's reading off of a script.
Well, listen. Listen. You're reading off of a script, you're reading off a teleprompter. The words are there for you. You should do a good job. You should do a good job. I don't think it did any supporters of W and W himself. I don't think it did him any good that he basically is giving a speech for the first time, doing a little stump speech for the first time. And he has to be compared to the sitting president, regardless of how much we hate our sitting president. Maybe hate's a strong word. Despise. Despise. Is despise a better word than hate? Or is it a less word? Regardless. If you're going to compare who speaks better, watching W up there yesterday just reminds you of how inept he was as a communicator. I mean, seriously. And he just looked like he didn't want to be there. He really did. He really did. He looked like was a, okay, I got to do this. I got to do this. I'm my mom's busting my stones. My mom's like, I did it. I went out in the snow and I did it. So you got to do it. You just one time. You just get out there and do it. And he was just like, oh, I'd rather be painting right now. I just want to go paint. I want to paint. That's all I want to do. I mean, imagine everything that's happened with Obama, all the things that Obama has said about George Bush and the administration, whether it's the war, whether it's the economy. You had Cheney out here screaming about Obama, saying he's the worst president since Jimmy Carter, maybe worse. And Bush has stayed out of the fray. He hasn't said anything about Obama. He still won't say anything about Obama. Instead, he goes after Donald Trump. That's kind of amusing to me. You want to talk about punching down. Isn't that what they kept saying to Trump? Why were you punching down? Jeb Bush is in third and fourth place. Why would you be punching down? That's kind of silly, Donald. You should be punching at Ted Cruz. He's your equal. Why would you be punching down? Well, there's George Bush punching down. He's going after a candidate. He's going after a candidate primary. Dopey brother. And I think George is disgusted because Jeb is so awful. He's so awful. And I think he is disgusted because the goalpost keeps getting moved for his dopey brother. I think George is sitting there going, all right, listen, stupid. You got your ass handed to you in Iowa. You got your ass handed to you regardless in New Hampshire. You finished fourth. You're in single digits over here. You're bad. You're horrible. And I got to quit painting. I'm painting trees. Painting trees. So W gives the speech. And again, it was just, you know, reading for a prepared statement. He cracks a joke. But it was all prepared. And it reminds you, again, of just how bad of a communicator he was. And listen, talk about, we don't need a leader. We don't need a leader who is, you know, boisterous, or we don't need a leader that talk or bravado. I mean, you know, basically braggadocious. This is coming from George Bush. Think about that. You couldn't get more macho swagger, braggadocious. Remember when the whole Bin Laden? Remember the whole Bin Laden? We're going to get them. We're going to smoke them out of their hole. We're going to get them alive. And people are like, what? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying? Stop. Why are you talking like this? You could not get more braggadocious and talk with bluster than George Bush. Everything, the whole administration had bluster. I mean, remember Dick Cheney? Remember the interview he gave? And the reporter says, you know, something like 60% of the American people. I don't know the exact number, but it was more than 50%. Disagreed with the Iraq war. And Cheney sitting in his in the leather chair. Then he looks at the reporter and he goes, so? So, I mean, and here's W talking about braggadocious. I wish I could do a Bush. We don't need a president that's bragging. We need a president with a steady hand. We need steady hand. Steady hand. Like I said, watch W up there. And then you compare him to the 7 years of Obama. And just the speaking styles. You're just like, wow. Even comparing him to Trump. Even comparing George's, I don't like to give Rubio credit. I don't really like Rubio, but listen, it's kind of like my argument with the whole love affair and the harken back to the Reagan days, thinking that those voters are still around. That group that gave Reagan landslide victory somehow are hiding. They're hiding. They're just waiting for the next Reagan, and then they're going to pop out. You know, it was a time and a place, and the stars lined up. Things happen to work out. The same thing with George Bush. If George Bush was running now, if George Bush was running primaries now, he would never, ever win. If George Bush was in this field, he wouldn't win. If George Bush was in the field of 2012, he wouldn't have won. Look at the field that George Bush was part of in 2000. Remember, McCain was part of that field. And McCain eventually lost to Barack Hussein Obama. When W became president, when W ran, we were coming off of Slick Willie. Think about it. We're coming off of Slick Willie. So you already had a built-in disadvantage for Al Gore. And then Al Gore was looked at, wasn't an over-the-top popular vice president. And we all know statistics as far as a city president of that party passing on 4 years to the VP. It's one of those things that very seldom happen. Unless you have a Reagan. Unless you have 8 years of a Reagan. And even then, they had Bush Sr. on a tight leash. It was like, all right. And the minute things started to go south, boom. He loses to the saxophone playing, woman chasing hillbilly from Arkansas. So, W kind of walked into that presidency. People were just fatigued of a skeeve like Bill Clinton. So they dealt with this this Texas hillbilly. He had the Arkansas hillbilly who became Slick. And trading him out with the Texas hillbilly who didn't become Slick. He just stayed I mean, he was Rick Perry before Rick Perry. Remember, when he left office, what was his approval rating? 10? As much as we don't like Obama, George is less than Obama by 25%. So I don't know how good a move. Again, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I don't know how good of a move. Well, that's regardless, good move or not, just needed something. Needed something. And recent polling. So they say. So they say. Has people still looking favorably on W? And it's funny because you know the polling is done in a way that's not reflective of the situation and what's going on. You know polling of, do you like George Bush? Do you like W? It wasn't a, well, what do you feel about this policy? Do you like that policy? If you put that policy against this policy, if you put him against nothing like that, because they actually did that. Those likability polls wouldn't be where they are. Those polls are basically pretend everything that happened in his presidency didn't happen. Pretend the guy just walked into a room and said, how you doing? I love you. How would you feel? Oh, it'd be cool. I'd shake his hand. Do you like him? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I like him. Cool. There. Like. Pollsters didn't sit down and just break down every nuance of W and then say, okay, now pretend to have Donald Trump. And you have Donald Trump. Now, the thing that Donald Trump versus what you know about the situation that W was involved in as far as Iraq and 9/11. Now, Colin Boss and Fox News and Gene Hannity, because they're all right. And I'm wrong. I'm just some idiot talking on an internet radio show. Okay. Okay. But we'll see. I don't think the George W. Bush stumping for Jeb. I think if anything, it showed why we have to go in a new direction. I think if anything, we showed the establishment. You know, when George proud to be part of the establishment, that's what he said. Proud to be part of the establishment. That establishment gave us 8 years. You know, we could talk about Obama and the way he's transformed this country, and we can have a debate about it. We can have a debate about it. We could have a debate of real unemployment versus the unemployment that we have now. We could have a debate about stagnant wages. We literally could go through the list. But I'll tell you. And again, I'm not supposed to say this. I'm supposed to toe the line. I'm supposed to toe the line. But just like I have said before, if I had a gun to my head and I had to pick Hillary or Bernie, I would go with Hillary if I had to pick. And you can't change. You can't change. You have to go with exactly the same. Apples to apples. If I had to pick, I would stay with the 8 years of Obama opposed to the 8 years of W. I know that's controversial to my Republican friends. I know. I probably lost hundreds of listeners. I know. But I'd rather be in a situation where it's obvious, and I don't mean to sound like Rubio here. I know, I'm sounding like Rubio for a minute. But I would rather be under the rule. I would rather be under the rule of a president that knows what he's doing and is strategically doing things to transform this country. I don't like the transformation. I don't like what he's doing, but it's obvious he knows what he's doing. It's obvious the people around him know what they are doing. Even when it comes to Italy and we say he's inept, I think he knows what he's doing. We've had this discussion before. It plays into a bit of the conspiracy notions, but I do feel there's a soft spot in Obama's heart for the Muslim community, for Islam. I'd rather be under the 8 years of Obama, who's doing things that I hate, but at least I know he knows what he's doing, opposed to the 8 years with W, where half the time it was like he wasn't even the president. Half the time it seemed like he just checked out, gave the presidency to Dick Cheney and that group of whoever was part of the Cheney clan. And W just went and painted, like a secret painting back then. He just came out of the closet, said, hey, I just started painting. He probably was painting back in the White House. She'd be running things and he'd be painting. Remember, you can't change what happened for the 8 years. You got to stay with those 8 years, just like you can't change the Obama. And just remember, because of having the Obama 8 years, we're going to get a Republican. Because of Obama and the 8 years, we got to take back the House and the Senate. And we will back the presidency. So I'd rather be in the position we are now. So when you think of establishment, think of W. You think of all the horrible things that happened with them and the establishment and what they're about. So I don't think for 1 second W did any good for Jeb. I think it reminded people, especially the establishment label. And then, to top everything off, they went on Sean Hannity. They did. They went on Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is such a... You know, listen. I did the comparing before. He is, if you ever watch MSNBC and take a look at Rachel Maddow or Lawrence O'Donnell, they are Sean Hannity. That pandering, leading. I mean, that's how Sean Hannity leads the questions. He leads a question that sets the people up for a, I don't want to say canned answer, Because I don't think they know what they're going to say before, but might as well be a canned answer because the lead-in, he leads them. I said that last night. I said, Sean Hannity is just leading the Bush brothers. And again, it was so pathetic to watch them. They sat there, Sean Hannity. He asked them questions. He led them with questions. And it was funny watching Jeb answer a question and then remind W about something. And then W would respond and go, oh yeah, that. And then Jeb would pivot back to answer the question. It was just bizarre. It was bizarre. It was a bizarre interview. It was watching Dumb and Dumber. And I know deep down inside W loves it. Because remember, how many years did people say, well, you know, Jeb's the smart one. Jeb's the one that was supposed to run for president. He's the one that Poppy Bush really wanted to be president. Remember, how many years did we all hear that? And if we heard it, you know, George heard it. And here's Jeb Bush running for president, and everybody's going, wow. Jeb is not the smarter one. He's a horrible campaigner. He's a horrible candidate. He's weak. He's horrible. And they've been showing a video throughout the weeks of Jeb and George campaigning in different eras and a compare and contrast. They show the debate where John McCain and George Bush are getting into it with each other about dirty tricks in South Carolina. And the Bush crew went after McCain. They denied they did, but somebody did, and talked about McCain's the wife being a drug addict. And I mean, it was rough stuff, far worse than what's going on now, far worse than Trump calling Ted Cruz a liar over and over and over, which is genius, but it's another segment we'll get into. So at one point, George holds up a flyer and he just starts going off on McCain. What's this flyer? You put this flyer, and McCain's caught off guard. He's like, I don't, well, that's not from me. And he goes, yeah, it's not from you. Look, it says from the camp, the pain of the John McCain. That's what it was like mic drop before there were mic drops. Then, of course, they show the clip of Al Gore when they did the town hall meeting and he walked up on Jeb or on George, got into his space, and Jeb kind of gave him that look like, can I help you? Kind of like, I'll kick you in your balls. I mean, it was a compare and contrast to the mumbling, stumbling, low energy, weak, pathetic Jeb Bush going, I love my mom. I love my dad. My dad's the greatest man in the world. I love him. I love him. And you're like, oh, bro, come on, man. So you know George has got to love this deep down inside. You know he's got to love. You know he's like, listen, you all thought I was stupid, thought he was smarter than me. No. You're all wrong. I was the smarter one. That's why this dummy got sent to Florida. It's like a mafia boss who's got the members. It's like, you know what it is? It's like the Philly mob back in the day, and they sent Nikki Scarfo to Atlantic City. They're like, oh, just send him to Atlantic City. It's like New York mob. It's like the Gambinos or the Genovese, whoever the top dogs were back in the 80s. And they basically tell one of their captains, all right, you run things in Jersey. And they're like, Jersey? I want to be here with the action. No, you're in Jersey. It's the same thing. They're like, Jeb, go to Florida. Take your maid and go to Florida. So it was bad to me. As far as I'm concerned, it was bad. Again, only time will tell. Maybe we will be here. Okay? Maybe we will be here on Monday. And I will be telling all of you I was wrong. And I'll admit it. I won't sit there and play games like the Limbaughs and so forth and so on and pretend things didn't happen and go, well, I was thinking that. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I don't think I'm going to be wrong. But we'll see. I don't think Jeb Bush and George Bush doing interviews with Sean Hannity did any good. I don't think Sean Hannity leading Jeb Bush and Jeb in questions, and they're playing off of each other. Oh, remember this? Oh, yeah, I remember that. And George Bush looking like he wants to just be out of there. He's just like, I want to go. I don't want to be asked questions. I just don't want to be here. So we'll see. I'll be wrong. That was my take from yesterday.